Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. Reading this morning from some recent Merging with Shiva lessons. First one is lesson 202, Bursts of Light and Intuition. Intense desire for spiritual unfoldment eventually manifests itself in a breakthrough of actinic will, which permeates the subconscious mind of the devotee until he completely identifies himself as an actinic being. This happens from within the deeper realms of man's mind and eventually manifests itself into consciousness, then into thought patterns, and then finally into speech and action. That's a very key point. With what do we identify ourselves? This is talking about identifying oneself as an actinic being. Said another way, we have an outer identity, human identity, and an inner identity, spiritual identity. And the goal in pursuing the spiritual path is to lessen the human outer identity and to strengthen the inner spiritual identity. So maybe we start off 95 in the human, 5% in the spiritual, but over the years it should change. We should start identifying more and more with the spiritual being that's our inner nature and less with our outer being. That has one great advantage. The inner being is perfect and the outer being is imperfect. So sometimes we get frustrated with being imperfect. But we have to remember, well, that's just the outer part of us. The inner part of us is already perfect. We're working on the outer part. That's a spiritual identity, but it's still a separate spiritual identity. The next step is in the realm of jhana. There's a nice verse in Tirumandaram which describes the jhanapada. Giving up me and I. Giving up me and I think is how it reads. So, of course, the more you give up me and I, even the spiritual me, the inner me and I, what's left? Well, only Shiva's left, right? So, it's a shift. We're finally very solid in being a spiritual being, but we're a separate spiritual being, and so we want to get rid of that separateness to be the one being. Shivoham, as the Tirumandaram says, it's the eventual goal. Actinic will also appears from the transference of desire from material objects and activity into finding some real solution within oneself for the eventual quest of all men, peace of mind. It's the great false concept, the great false impetus that we have to work with, which is part of the human nature. The human nature feels something is lacking, and we can only find that something by relating to other people or by possessing additional possessions. Somehow, that will fill the lack that we're feeling. Of course, that doesn't work out very well because it doesn't last, as we all know, short time. And the solution within oneself for the eventual quest of all men, peace of mind, the solution is to say, well, why look outside when the real treasure is inside, right? That's what we're trying to overcome, is a kind of ignorance, avidya, to do that. Because it's right there inside of us. We just have to find it. Once we found it, then we have to claim it on a daily basis. Some days we may feel a bit lazy. It's too hard to claim it today. But we can do it anyway. It's there. It doesn't go away just because we're not quite as inspired to claim it. This actinic force becomes so strong, finally there is a breakthrough or burst of light. This happens quite naturally within many people who have not even availed themselves of classical yoga teachings. This first breakthrough throws into orbit, so to speak, the sub-subconscious state of mind for an infinitesimal flow of actinic force. Thereafter begins to permeate the subconscious mind, easing darkness or confusion or pressures of the conglomerated, accumulated force fields. Boy, that sounds pretty serious, huh? Easing darkness or confusion or pressures of the conglomerated, accumulated force fields. So that's what we need to purify ourselves of. Conglomerated, accumulated force fields. Which means all the things that didn't go right in our life, all the resentments we still have, all the entanglements with people we're still going through, all of that combined together is what constitutes the conglomerated, accumulated force fields. So we have to get rid of that through this actinic flow that's starting to get stronger within us. After this first breakthrough, the devotee becomes more creative, kinder, a little happier, and more metaphysically inclined, for the sub-superconscious mind becomes another building force field. So we're starting to increase. As I said before, we're increasing our identity with the spiritual nature inside of us. That's another way of saying the sub-superconscious mind becomes another building force field. Your belief in your sub-superconscious power will also unfold your destiny in this life. I will be what I will to be. I will do what I will to do. You can repeat these two affirmations over and over, time and time again, and rearrange, restructure the forces of your subconscious mind and create a great inner peace within yourself. Turn on to actinic force and bring the forces of superconsciousness through your subconscious. This creates a feeling that you are what you say you are, positive, direct, full of life and energy and creative power. Your sub-superconscious mind proves this through your conscious mind, not only through feeling, but you will find yourself acting out the part in all kindness and security. But exercising the positive will of, I will be what I will to be, and I will do what I will to do. So there Gurudeva is again emphasizing how we can change the shape of the subconscious mind. As we know, the subconscious mind contains all the impressions of this lifetime in detail, and it contains the summary impressions from previous lifetimes as a summary. And it's like a piece of clay. before we understand this point, we're molding our subconscious mind by what happens to us and how we react to what happens to us on a daily basis. We're molding our subconscious mind, but we're not necessarily molding it in a positive way. We can be molding it in a negative way. We're molding it some days positive, other days negative. This is pointing out that what we do and the reaction to what we do and our use of affirmations can remold it into a more useful form, a more purified form. Moving on to just a little bit from lesson 203, the next lesson. And now, on the lighter side of thinking, here's another way to use your sub-superconscious powers consciously. When you know the next thing to do or the right thing to say, this is your sub-superconscious mind. Practice feeling confident, secure in the consciousness of the eternal now. Then there's a very specific suggestion coming up, which I'll comment on suggestion beforehand. Gurudeva was a master at what's about to be said, which is the idea of speaking effectively to a group of people. How do you know it was effective? Individuals will come up to him afterwards and say, it felt like you were just talking to me. But about five or six individuals would come up and say that. So obviously, you know, they weren't all thinking the same thing. Five or six individuals would have different points of view. So somehow Gurudeva was able to tune in to the group and speak to what was on their minds in a very effective way, and in that way really relate to their current concerns, which is the big challenge, to actually relate to what individuals are thinking about. So this, the next couple sentences explains how to do that. Absorb the feedback from groups of people or people you are talking with, and when your subconscious mind has collected the feedback, feel dynamically the eternity of the moment, and you will know just the right thing to say or the next thing to do. This is using your sub-superconscious powers consciously. So it's a slightly different point, but it still works in the other example. In Gurudeva's case, he's just sensing it mentally. They're not saying anything. In the illustration here, this is using the example of a group of people sitting, having a meeting, for example, and how to do this is you need to be in the present moment, take in their ideas into your subconscious, and then you are able to creatively respond to it. Unfortunately, what some individuals do at a meeting is they bring their idea and they're just waiting for their idea to have a chance to get expressed. They're not really listening to what others are saying. They express their idea, and if others don't accept their idea, they're losing out. So a different approach. This is more learning from the group. The way I like to explain the difference is you bring your best idea to a meeting and you encourage everyone else to bring their best idea, but you're hoping the meeting will generate an idea that's even better than anyone brought individually. That's truly creative meeting. And the last idea, the greatest thing that a devotee must learn is that all knowing is within oneself. Therefore, go to your university, your great sub-superconscious school, and bring forth knowledge. Oh, that's Gurudeva's approach to jnana. Some teachers' approach to jnana is you're supposed to read a lot of books, therefore acquire knowledge. It's not Gurudeva's approach to jnana. books are very helpful so you know what to practice. But from Gurudeva's point of view, it's somebody else's knowledge. It's not your knowledge. For the knowledge to be yours, you need to go inside yourself, find what's there. In order to do this, be confident within yourself. In order to be confident within yourself, have no fear. In order to have no fear, say to yourself, I'm all right right now. Very specific suggestions. This will quickly bring you into the consciousness of the eternity of the moment. You will feel actinic force permeating, or more life permeating, your body, which is subconscious, and your sub-superconscious state of mind will be active. That is, go ahead in full confidence that you are the knower of all that is known. Then I added a quote from Yoga Swami, final quote. You lack nothing. The only thing you lack is that you do not know who you are. Wonderful day.